morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
And what is your name, sir?
My name is Grant Edges with Paul Bell.
Okay.
Number 306-425.
Okay, what barrel? Who knows this barrel?
Brandon Barrow is the one we can't do till 12:30.
No, they're here then.
Yeah.
Oh, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're all good. Okay, as long as we're good.
Okay. Okay, sir, let me see who's going to conduct your hearing. One moment.
That's me.
Okay. The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will be the one who will serve as your lead for your hearing, so just hang on, sir.
Mr. Barrow, please state your name and your ABC number for the record.
My name is Paul Barrow, ABC number 306-435.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. This is concerning the one allegation that's listed on your warrant. I see you were notified about this hearing on June 15th. You signed a form that day, do you remember?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and on that form is a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you could represent yourself. So did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today?
No, I'm not representing myself
today. Okay, that's fine. The board members, if you look on the screen to your right, I'll introduce the board members to you. All the way down at that end, at the right end, right hand on your screen, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Noel. Right next to me here in the center of the bench is Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman. On the other side of me here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing today. Also with us in the room, we have the Honorable Mr. Westby, who's Community Corrections Officer with Department of Corrections. So we'll represent the department and your hearing officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear the two of you in. So Mr. Barrow and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do. I do.
And I see we also have some guests in the room. I don't know, do we have the, there it is. Where is the paper? That's okay, no big deal. We have some other folks, Sherry Hill and Brianna, I can't read the last name.
Cardinal.
And is anyone here going to want to speak? So,
Sherry Hill is
another. And so you're Ms. Hill?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and Ms. Carpio?
Yes.
You're the two that are going to speak. Okay.
The young lady.
And the young lady too, what's your name, please?
Brianna Carpio.
Brianna Carpio? Okay. If I could just swear the three of you in as well then. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
I'm not speaking.
You're not speaking. Okay. Okay, got it. Okay, so Mr. Barrow, the hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we determine if you violated your conditions. And in phase two, we determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I need you to tell me if it's true or false. And that will be phase one. So the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number four, as demonstrated by your failure to complete substance abuse counseling on or about May 10th, 2018, as directed. Mr. Bell, is that true or false? That's
true.
That's true? Okay, sir, thank you. Based on Mr. Barrow's admission, then I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. White, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. So, Mr. Vera, we'll start phase two of your hearing, which to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us all some background information about your case. So just hang on the line. We'll be right back with you in just a moment. Mr. Westby.
On December 26, 2017, Mr. Burrow was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 10, 2018 by ABC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody May 10, 2018, with a projected CCD of August 20, 2018, 0 sound days. Current conviction, 2015, aggravated assault, 4 years. 2015, criminal damage, 1.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term at DOC. CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. However, after his return to DOC on May 27, 2018, he received a ticket for disobeying verbal written orders. Other arrests, 2000, DUI, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G1B2.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Mr. Barrow, it looks like you were released to live, looks like with your aunt, Sandra Farrington, on Camino de la Cumbre in Tucson, is that right? Okay, and did you stay there the whole time?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you were living there. And you were working, it looks like for a while, at Ozer Communications?
Ozer Communications, yes, ma'am.
And the whole time? Okay, all right, good. That's a good thing. But it looks like you wound up being referred to PRC, to the 90-day program. And what was that about? What happened?
I picked up some from drinking in our army, and I was going to be able to see treatment, so I'm going to be able to see treatment.
Okay. And has alcohol been a problem for you?
Yes, ma'am. It's something that I've been struggling with. I've been working for 3 months, and I've had a sense of months of sobriety. But this is something that is occurring, and it's usually my issue is, honestly, just...
Yeah, okay, understood. That's kind of the nature of it. It just is one of those things that's just always there, and you can always relapse. I see you had the DUI back in 2000, so it's been at least back that long.
Right, that was 19 years old. I actually made a mistake. I was actually in college at the time, in Central Arizona. It wasn't alcohol, but it was in it. But, I did divert it. It was a handle of 20,000 in PHN. And I actually did very well until I was 31 years old when I got this accident for the time I was serving now.
Uh-huh.
So, in 2011.
Okay, and that was alcohol related as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And have you done, you went to the, it looks like you went down to the PRC.
Right.
And were you participating in that?
I thought that was. I invited my family to do a class with me. I was getting church meeting. I really made a mistake. I had a lapse in church meeting. I mean, something wrong. I don't have any excuses for it. I'm not here to try to make excuses for myself. I made a huge mistake. I realized my error at the time. I'm here now, and obviously I would love an opportunity to wrap myself, to move with my family, to do better for myself and for the community. That's my mission.
Had you tried other treatment in the past? Had you tried other types of treatment?
I did a 30-day program. Honestly, the PRC was working very well for me. I was getting along with counselors and staff there.
I was curious about that, how you found that treatment relating, you know, compared with other treatment you might have done in the past.
You know, I heard a lot of different things about it. I kind of made an open-minded for myself. Now, I know that I was familiar with the role of peers and others, and that they're having issues with people having substances inside of there.
Right.
And so, you know, it's something that I'm not going to blame on anybody else. I made this mistake. I messed up. So, when it really comes down to it, I really have to blame it. I started to listen and really absorb what I was learning. I learned a lot about myself, and when I fixate on certain things, and I feel wrong, I learned a lot of things about myself. And I wanted to finish the program, and I was up front with my counselor about the situation and what happened, and I was actually kind of surprised that they had didn't know, but I didn't like them. I didn't like that part of it.
So you did relapse then while you were in the program?
That's what happened. Yeah, that's really the nature of what happened. And you know, I'm not gonna sugarcoat anything or make excuses for myself about my situation because I made a huge mistake. And I was very selfish in my decision. And I understand what I did wrong. I know that this. Substance abuse and alcohol addiction is something that I will have to battle for the rest of my life. And it's something that I have control over. And sometimes with the relapses being part of recovery, it's things that happen, but I know that I do need to seek more from you, which is exactly what I plan to do. Go back to work, be a positive member of society. So I don't like to use the word criminal, but in addition, I can make a lot of those convicted of a crime, so that's really sad. But that is the one time I've been in trouble, and I'm charging my best to be a foreign citizen and show them that problem.
Okay, so what would be, whether the board votes to release you now or you continue to serve the rest of your term till August 20th, which is not that far away, what would be your plan? I mean, what plans do you have about, specifically about your alcohol issue? What would you plan?
Well, I would like to get back in touch with my sponsor, Doug. I would like to obviously get back to work, be able to have my family, go right back into what I could do, another treatment program. There's so many out there in Tucson, which is like to stay there in residency or you can go on the outpatient, inpatient, outpatient, and get it.
Right.
I always wanted to be in touch with you, so I was wanting to get in touch with Dr. Taylor when I graduated the program so I could go over there and go over to a PPI as a recovery support specialist. And this mistake got in my way of that. Over that, now that it's going to be 3 months, I have to go 3 months, 3 months, time to take the classes. There's a lot of different things I can do, but I just know that being a positive member of society is the reason I'm able to be there for my family, obviously.
Okay, so
for myself is really the reason.
So you mentioned a sponsor, Doug. Was he your sponsor on the outside?
Yes.
Okay, so you had a sponsor previously?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So you've been participating in AA sometime?
Right, yeah. Like I said before, after I got released, I got back in contact with him. We've been talking, we still text for him. When I was going back to work, I was getting myself back acclimated. I'm not really sure if when I went back to work, it was too fast, because the transition from prison to being in those shoes is a little different. You know, it's
right.
The world is a little different, and I really didn't take that into consideration, because when I went back, I was working. I think I got out of 26, I was working by January 2nd. So I immediately got the job that I had before I got locked up. Before I was in prison, I got that job like that.
Okay.
And so I was working for the time that I was actually incarcerated. And, there was certain pressures, certain things happened. I would think that I was using everything and taking my time. And one thing led to another. These are not excuses that I'm making at all.
Okay, so let me ask you, what was the discipline ticket on May 27th about?
I was refused in the house. I was put in a position to where the politics of prison is politics of prison. I signed the IHP form for his CEO, and I was put on a jail of the Islamic prison. Otherwise, he goes up with that. I was not comfortable in the situation. That's pretty much what that was about. I didn't know how that y'all was in with him. He's doing a lot more time. And I was not comfortable in the situation. I do not want to go back into the same politics of prison that was on before.
Okay, sir.
Population.
All right, thank you, sir. I'm going to ask Mr. Westby for some more information.
Yes, I just wanted to note that there's a promo note here from Pio Sarusti that stated the offender admitted this was, it was a late entry, but it looks like this here was from the day of his arrest on May 10th. Offender admitted to this PO he had used methamphetamines, and that is the reason he had failed to UA on other occasions, as he knew he would have positive results. As he was being arrested, homemade alcohol was retrieved from his property, so he could look, appear that he had booch in his with his stuff.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Mr. Barrow, just hold on. We'll give you an opportunity to respond in a moment. So was that we all finished, sir? I'm sorry.
Yes, and so it looks like that was a decision in that they were going to take him back. Because there was some sort of staffing regarding the discharge from ITH, but I just wanted to note that he did have only alcohol in his possession.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Barrow, what was the homemade alcohol?
I have no idea about that at all. Now, there were 20 inmates in that cell, and I was arrested. I don't know how long it took for them to get myself out of there, but I did not drink alcohol, and there was no indication at all on any of my drug tests that alcohol came over my system at all. I have not had a drop of alcohol, so on that instance, I was never informed of that.
Okay.
That sounds like he said it's a late entry, and that doesn't make any sense because I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
Okay, so what about the Matthews?
That's what I said. I relapsed when I was in there. That's what happened.
But we're not with alcohol. Okay.
No. And if that was the case, there would have been some sort of alcohol in my system.
Right.
None of that happened. And there's no reason why I would admit to something completely different, which is far worse.
Okay, sir.
So leads to my actual issue.
All right. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions? No? Okay, Mr. Bear, I'm going to allow your supporters to speak if they'd like to at this time. Come right up here. Okay, and if you just come right up to this this microphone here. All right, and just start by stating your name. Okay, and what would you like to tell the board?
I'm here for Brandon. I would like to say that I'm speaking for me and my sister, and I would like to say that Brandon is a good father figure for me, my family, and my sister. Also a good stepdad. That it to us and helps me with my homework, and if I'm having a problem at school, he's always there and gives me the best advice. And he also helps me, my mom, and my sister when we need it, when we need him.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you for coming today. Thank you. Please just start by stating your name.
Okay, my name is Sherry Lynn Hill.
Okay.
And I'm Brandon's grandmother. I gave birth to him 38 years ago, yesterday. I'm here speaking on behalf of my mother, Velma Jean Barrington, right here, which she's Brandon's grandmother. My sister, Sonia Barrington, his aunt, who he moved in with.
Yeah, she's real all related, I can tell. The resemblance is amazing.
His extended family back home, which includes my six grandchildren, who are his four nephews. 2017, he's so really looking forward to him coming home. Brandon has a stellar history as an individual, as an employee, as a son, a relative, and a friend. He's been rehired by four different employers over the years, including one right out of prison this past January. He's gotten the attention and support of this Pima County Superior Court judge. The reason why we've been in this so long is she tried forever to give him chances, and she finally went in and sent him in. It should be on the record that said the reason why she was doing it, she was afraid he was going to kill himself, and he didn't figure out how to stop drinking. So that's why he ended up going in. His probation officer, his parole officer, his intake treatment recovery specialists have all said he's a good person, he can get this done, and if he gets it done, they want him to come and work with him. So he's had really positive opportunities. He just needs to figure out how to take those opportunities and turn his life around, get this grip of alcoholism off of his shoulder. He has tremendous upside, and all of his court officials have seen it. He got into trouble because he's an alcoholic, and alcoholics get in trouble. They do things they shouldn't be doing because they're drinking. But Brandon has no history or record of violent crimes like rape, murder, drug trafficking, or gang violence. He has had a history of relationships with women, and when those relationships break up, Brandon starts drinking. We never have blamed previous people for that. That's Brandon's. He made that decision to drink. It's not because of anybody else. It's been a trigger for him. He now has been blessed with his fiance, Katrina, who's here, and her daughter, Rihanna. They both drove up from Tucson. We drove up yesterday because we're too old to drive up. They support him, and I believe that they're positive influence in his life. In release early, we have concern about him. He doesn't agree with us, but we have concern that he find a DOC approved halfway house or sober living just until he can work his way back into the community and in with his program. We're not asking for the early release. Maybe that request to Brandon. If he wants early release, then we support it. Whichever way you decide, we'd like for him to be ordered to take DOC approved classes because we need to be a life. He's ours, and we don't want to lose him to alcohol. So that's why we came up to speak to you. We really thank you all for this opportunity to speak to the Arizona Board of Effective Clemency.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for?
And she is his mother.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what she's
about. I figured that out. Thank you. Did you have questions?
No, it's okay. I didn't see any question. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, Mr. Barrow, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, and we want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, if you would, without repeating something you've already told us. So is there anything else you've thought of that you want to tell the board?
I apologize for my actions. I made a mistake. I do appreciate that you guys took the time from doing all the work to hear my case and whatever decision that you guys make, I'm prepared to accept it and to live in my life.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Barrow, the board is going to go into discussion. We do all of our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So all we ask is you remain on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir. So the board is now in discussion. Mr. Bell seems to be coming to a point in his life where he's becoming aware of his alcohol issue and other drug problems, it looks like, by the meth use. He was participating in treatment, seems to have some respect for that treatment program. So he was doing well, but for some reason he relapsed, and he admitted that to his parole officer. He has only a little over a month left, like 6 weeks or so left on his sentence. And I'm not hearing a very strong conviction in his voice about, I believe he's on the right path, but I'm not sure he has the level of commitment to himself that he needs at this point. I'm seeing him as a better candidate to remain incarcerated, complete his sentence, and use this time while he's there to line up some options for when he gets out. But I would listen to any input from Mr. Johnson.
I agree. I think that he has in according to his mom and both the young lady who came up and spoke, he's had some real positive opportunities. He's had some real good reports coming from all of those who's been involved with him since he's been involved. But he really, really has to make a determination within himself if he wants to make that change. Everyone's trying to help him. I think he takes this time that he has left, start going to AA, get involved in some programming, that he'll be released in about a month and a half. And he takes that time and get himself together, then he can get out and be a productive citizen and work on that alcohol problem that he has. But it also concerns me that it's not just the alcohol problem, that he started using that while he was in that program. So he needs to really do some deep thinking, because it's moved on from just the alcohol to the admitted use of methamphetamine that he was using. So I think that he has a good, strong family support that's there, willing to work with him and want to work with him. I think he take this time where I left to get himself together. He'll be a productive person once he gets out and able to do some things on his own. But we can recommend all the programs for him. But if he doesn't participate and do it, it's not going to do any good. He has to make that determination himself and make that turn.
You make a good point, Mr. Johnson. That is, all these people here are willing to help him, but he's got to help himself, and he's got to make that decision for himself. Nobody else can tell him, and they've acknowledged that too. They know they can't tell him what to do. He's got to decide. Any other comments from board members? Mr. Kenyon?
Only that I agree with everything that you said. He's got 49 days left, and I think he can take advantage of these last days, again, not months, to really get his mind right and commit, because he has tremendous support in this room today.
He does. Okay, based on information in warrant 2018W1392, I move to vote, and I would also say our conversation with Mr. Barrow and his the input from his supporters on the positive side, but based on the information in the warrant, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Barrow was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by failing to complete the program and specifically using methamphetamine while he was participating in drug treatment.
Second.
All right, motion by myself. Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, agreed by Mr. Neal, agreed by Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Barrow, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. We've got a release date for you, if nothing else goes wrong, of August 20th of this year. And as Mr. Quinones mentioned, I think that's 49 days or thereabouts. And at that point, when you're done, you won't have a parole officer worry about it, you'll be on your own. But we would really urge you to take advantage now of working with your CO3 to get some places lined up, some other possible places where you can go for treatment, so that when you get out, you can kind of hit the ground running. You've already got it lined up. There's no, as you mentioned before, it's kind of hard to come out of prison to the community without a good plan in your head of what you're going to do. So make sure you've got it all together, got everything, write it down, so you know exactly what you're going to do. We wish you the best, sir. We think you can do it, but the key word in there is you. You have to do it. And everyone's here to help you, but you've got to make the decision, sir. So we wish you the best for a safe transition back into the community. And this concludes your hearing, sir. Thank you very much. If you put the CO3 back on the phone. Thank you, sir.